I will see him in.
Log Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio Mad Dads. We're truly excited to have you on, and we want to let you know that you're listening to Mad Dads Radio live from Minneapolis, Minnesota, the home of the famous Minnesota Vikings, the Timberwolves, the Minnesota Twins. And, you know, I just wanted you to know there is a hater.
A hater.
In the house.
Big hater.
Mr. Gil Baggett. And I told him, don't hate, participate.
Can't participate.
Because why did he move from Chicago to Minnesota to be ridiculed by some of the greatest teams in America? I'm just proud to say that. I want to welcome you. This is VJ Smith and my co-host, Mr. Gil Baggett. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
We are excited to let you know that we're getting ready for our Tuesday night support group. Over 70 families a week come and get support, direction, and guidance through us and our partnership with Urban Ventures every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a great time. We do much more than that. We have we help folks transition out of prison. We do community service projects. We do prevention in the schools. And we also work with families in mediation and do marriage counseling, along with working on the buses, providing peace on the bus, and reaching out through our outreach explosions, our youth development, and our street patrol. And, of course, we cannot forget the Moms Division.
Hey, Moms!
So to the moms, we thank you very much. Make sure you check us out on Channel 17, Minneapolis Television Network, every Thursday night with myself and John Turnipseed. And we do our homicide and grief and trauma work, and we're excited about that. The number to call, just so you know what it is 213-352-5-3434. Give us a call.
No.
No, that's not
hey,
right.
Hey, hey.
It's 347. Yeah.
215-9262.
Get that number out again.
That's 1-347-215-9262. And that's Blog Talk Radio number. Please participate today.
We want to talk about how to save our children. And I'm going to let Gil, not just our children, but our community, man. So many people are traumatized with all this violence. What do we do and how do we save them, Gil?
Well, can I tell y'all a story before we start this? I just want to use this as a frame of reference. So when you start thinking about how we're going to change our neighborhood. And you know, both me and BJ, we are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our personal Lord and Savior. We have a personal relationship with Christ. Christ teaches us that in order to change, you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, now just use that as the premise to build your thought concept on what I'm getting ready to tell you. It's a baby. She lives on the north side. She lives anywhere in the United States, but we're going to bring it down here to Minnesota. She stays in Minnesota. And she's 8 years old. Her mother's 25. And she listened to Changi. She listened to Gucci Mane. And all night when she comes up in the morning, she's a mother, a significant other. They're sitting in the living room. They're smoking their cigarettes. They're smoking their reefers. They're doing what they do, and they listen to Gucci Mane, and he's B this, F that. All type of foul language is coming through this. He's demeaning her as a woman. He's demeaning her as a person through the lyrics of his songs. And this stuff is blasting through our house. And as she's sitting there, she's trying to eat her bowl of cereal to get ready to go to school. She comes home from school, and they're still sitting there. And he's sitting there, he's you B, you F, you this, you that. You know, you rotten person. You know, I'm getting all up under your clothes. She lays up there, she eats whatever's prepared for her and stuff. And then she lays down, and she goes to sleep. Her friend, her mother, significant other, they're still in the front room in the kitchen, running through the house, doing what they do. And Gucci Mane is still you B, you F, this, this, and all this other crazy nonsense. And she goes to sleep. When she wakes up in the morning, the first thing comes out of her mouth is what? U-B-U-F. And we wonder how come we have no change and we have no control of our children in our communities today. And that's because our children don't respect us. When I was coming up, you know, people always say, y'all always want to talk about the old school. This is the new school. No, this ain't no school, man. Schooling is a place where you're supposed to be learning. You're supposed to be taught. You get an education. You lay up in, you be coming up solving problems. You learn how to lay up in, think. You learn how to lay up in and see things on different levels. Today, we have mothers that's trying to be girlfriends with their daughters. We have fathers that's trying to be friends and gang members with their sons. We have all the wrong representation putting off in our kids' mind. Not only do we have to fight the different media blitzes that's put on our kids' mind, I'm talking about the TV, the radio, all the commercialization and stuff, and saying it's bringing all this materialism into our kids' mind, thinking if they put on a Gucci shirt, they put on a Tupac shirt, they put on this type of Rockwell gear or whatever they put on and stuff, you know what I'm saying, that this is going to lay a pin to find them as human beings. And that is so wrong. We've taken the teaching from our children. Our children are going to date, to go to school. And our kids, what they do, they go to school, they disrespect their teachers. They disrespect the security people that's working in the schools and stuff like that. They disrespect the hall monitors. They disrespect the crossing guards. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing sacred to them. That's because they have not formulated a respect for us as parents. They don't have any respect in their home. They're not being taught respect in their home. And the children that are taught respect are being victimized by, like, you strange because you say yes, sir, and no, sir. I know that me and Mr. V.J. Smith, when we was coming up as kids, you had to say yes, sir, and no, sir. You know, we understood that when you say yes, sir, and no, sir, you can get certain things done. People look at you differently, you know. But today, our children don't just don't understand the fact that you have to be courteous, you have to be respectful in order to lay up here and bring the type of positive people around you as you need off into your life. Because we have our children today that are running our homes. They are running our homes. I understand that, you know, the government has laid up here and intervening on us and laid up here and take corporal punishment away from us and stuff like that, that you can't whoop your children and stuff like that. But, you know, like, hey, when I was coming up, the rod was never spared on me. You ever spared a rod on you, VJ?
They never, never. Matter of fact, man, they used to have strategy planning sessions on how to whoop my black butt. And I mean, I had no idea what was coming at me until I walked in that house. My foster parents, they had meetings. What do we whoop him with? How long do we whoop him? When he runs, how do we catch him? What do we tell the neighbors? What if the police come? Everything that I thought I could make happen to deter this beating, as I'm about to get, they had a backup plan.
Amen.
I had no idea they had a backup plan, but it made me. There's two words that I say that really helped me in the future of my life, and that was yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Those words have so much value that I don't know about you, Gil, but when I hear somebody say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, it sends something through my body, especially a kid.
Yes, amen.
When I hear, because it's so rare, when you doing okay? Yeah. You doing all right? Yeah. You need anything? No. You know, hey, man, can I? Hey, you. You know, that's what you hear now. But when a young man says, excuse me, sir, oh, thank you, sir, yes, ma'am, I automatically ask, who's your mom?
Who's your mom?
Who's your daddy?
Right.
Who's
Amen.
The man that raised you with some golden words? Those
Amen.
Golden words that are so far gone now that sometimes I almost pass out when I hear kids say it.
Amen.
Because I get so excited knowing that there are some parents out there. Now, here's what's funny to me. I am 56 years old. If I ask somebody, if I say to somebody my age or older, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, sometimes their reply is, don't call me, sir.
Yeah.
Don't call me ma'am. And what I do is tell them, the reason why it's important that I call you sir or ma'am is how do I teach the kids to do it if you won't allow me to do it?
That's right.
How do I teach the kids when you're going against everything I've been taught? Why are you doing that? Oh, I just didn't make me feel all old. Well, just, I'm teaching. I'm mentoring. These are moments of teaching. you should apply, comply with that. And so many things that we do, our adults, you know, fight against it. Let my baby do what he want to do. Let my baby do what she want to do. Let my people do what they want to do. Well, that's the problem. Too many people are doing what they want to do. I just heard about two carloads, freight loads of guns that got delivered and just dropped off in the middle of Chicago. Kids right now can get them. Somebody got all the crates, and they're selling for $50 a gun. Two car freight loads of brand new guns dumped in Chicago, Gil.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but, you know, like, remember the Bible again. You know, I want y'all to excuse me about I keep on bringing this Bible up. But the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness in high places. And these are means this all this destructive thoughts, all these destructive planning, all these destructive mechanisms that they're throwing on our children. You know, like everybody thought the internet was going to be such a big old beautiful explanatory thing of education and information. Now look, we got all type of pedophiles on there. Our kids are getting naked on the things. They're saying all type of crazy stuff out of their mouths and stuff. All these different crazy perverted thoughts are being transferred off into their minds and stuff like this here and stuff. You know, we got women, we got men out there that's trying to be responsible adults, trying to be responsible parents and study to teach their children stuff, but they gotta sleep. You know what I'm saying? And now all of a sudden their children are on the internet and stuff, you're saying, conversing with people and stuff that's a light years advanced and foolishry, you know? So we got to understand as a people that it's got to be some sacrifices done, brothers and sisters. It's got to be some sacrifices done in our homes with our children. You know, we've got to teach our children there are consequences to their behavior. Children just cannot run and just teach themselves. Like VJ said, you know, we work in the schools and we work on the buses and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So we encounter a lot of negative, emotional, dysfunctional behavior amongst teenagers and mostly amongst teenage girls, you know, and preteen girls. They have this anger inside of them. That when you say anything in any form of correction, they just go crazy. You're not my father. You're not my mother. You can't tell me. They just go all ballistic and stuff like this. Yeah, you know. And you know, I understand teaching our children not to lay up here and talk to strangers and things like this, but that doesn't mean to disrespect strangers. You know, because you can adhere to the advice of somebody who's a stranger to you if they tell you, "Hey, look out, a bus is coming. Hey, look out, you shouldn't stop across the street." When the light is green and stuff like that, you know, these are informational tools and stuff that our children need to lay up here and formulate in their own system of thinking, because they have got to learn that it is the consequences of your behavior, and the consequences of your behavior is very apparent. Just like they had Saturday down at wasn't that VJ on Nicollet Avenue?
That's correct.
You know, the kids went down there to have a good time. Now, we know that, you know, that it's just a handful of kids that caused the problem. But everyone became affected by it.
A victim.
Became victimized by just a few behaviors. You know, it's a consequence to that. You know, you have the Metro Police that was down there. You had the Minneapolis Police that was down there. You had the County Police that was down there and stuff. They have a job. They are taught in what to do. Doing a disturbance, a social disturbance. So we had all these black children downtown, you know, that going to a dance or a musical or something like that, you know, that a handful of kids got out of control, was speaking, you know, trash, talking to police and stuff like that there, and it was an overreaction by everybody. Mace was sprayed, a few kids were arrested and detained, so their parents came and picked them up, you know. And then it was an incident that happened later on that night in the garage. You know, they say there's supposed to have been the afterbirth of that took place that afternoon. And we really don't know. But what we're saying is that our children must understand that it is consequences from the things that you do. I remember coming up as a kid. My mama and dad used to tell me, don't let them streetlights beat your butt on this porch. You better be in front of this house when them lights come on. You know, and I knew what that meant. I knew that my in my house, my father was a construction worker, and he was always understood. When he come home, that's when we ate. Everybody had to sit down at the table and eat.
Well, let me say this. We got a caller. And so, Mr. Vega, we're going to go to the caller, 5270. You are live on Blog Talk Radio. How you doing? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Your number is 5270. Welcome. Oh, she just left, or he just left. Whoever that was, they just got off. They're no longer with us. But I wanna say this, man. The call-in number is, give them that call-in number again. What do you get?
The call-in number is 1-347-215-9262. The number again is 1-347-215-9262, and that's Blog Talk Radio.
And the other thing I want to share is that you brought a good point in about parents and how big a role parents are. And I'll be leaving Thursday and going to the homegoing of the national founder of Mad Dads, Eddie Staten. And I want to just say thank you, Eddie, for all that you contributed to Mad Dads all over the world. Internationally, Mad Dads is known. There are chapters all over the world. And so I want to thank you for that vision that you and John Foster and Bishop Tyler put together to bring men together in the community. I will do everything in my power to keep that vision going. So will Gil Baggett. And we believe that without this vision, our lives would definitely be different. So I'm thankful. I want to take just a moment out to honor our national president and his life and the dedication he gave to Minneapolis Mad Dads and chapters all over the country. Speaking about fathers, and Gil brought up a great point about fathers and the role model that they play, and parents and the role models that they play. So many parents say, I'm not a role model, I'm not a leader, so don't follow me, don't do what I do. But it's hard to do that once you've brought a baby into this world. Every Wednesday I go down to the jail and I talk to the kids, and most of them say, the main reason why I can't change my life is I have to go home.
I have to go home, amen.
The main reason why I can't be what I want to be is I have to go home.
That's right.
And the main reason why I can't dream big anymore is because my dream has been deferred by the people that are in my house. What do you have to say about that, Gil?
Well, you know, VJ, having did most of my younger ages in foster care,
uh-huh.
You know, I could understand that very clearly, because at one point I didn't want to go home because, you know, I lived in fear. My whole family lived in fear of my father. My father was an uneducated, violent, alcoholic, you know, came up from Mississippi, puck wood cutter, you know, came up to the big city, seen the big lights and stuff, you know, and just went crazy. And I remember one time I had ran away from home, and the police had caught me out in Cicero, Illinois. And so when they had me, they said, we're waiting for your parents to come get you. So while I was waiting, they asked me, they said, do you want to go home or do you want to go to the Audie home? And I told them, I said, I want to go to the Audie home. That was a bad boy school, you know, where they took kids and stuff that ran away from home and did other, you know, little crimes and stuff like that. And I told them I wanted to go there instead of wanting to go home, you know. And the white officer, he was looking at me, and he was like, wow. He said, this kid would rather go to jail than go home. You know, at that time, I really didn't understand the psychological implications that one decision was going to lay up here and hold over me for the rest of my life, because I found myself running from my own home and from my own family for the rest of my life. You know, so you know, we be on the bus and we go to the schools and we try to talk to the kids and we try to talk to the parents. A lot of people said, like they told President Obama, you can't tell my kid nothing, you know? Well, I understand that, you know? But you need to be telling your son something. You need to be telling your daughter something. You need to be sharing with your kids the pain and the struggle that you laid up here and you had to endure in order for you to lay up here and bring about the materialistical comfort that they are enjoying right now. So because a lot of kids still believe in the Sears catalog theory, that you just open up a book, point your finger, and say, hey, I want that, and mom and dad is supposed to materialize it. You know, we got to understand, you know what I'm saying, that we're in a very depressed economical time right now. This is about a means of survival, you know. But we still got kids running around with $25 T-shirts on and $165 shoes on and stuff, and their mother's only working one job and the father's not supportive into the home. You know, these are the things that we got to sit down and give to our children, because we seem like our children are slow or something like this. Our children are not slow. Our children understand what's happening. What they don't understand is the methods in which you're bringing about a solution to it, because you're not talking to them. We have to talk to our children. If we go to a different place and different parks, and VJ give the kids the mics, and we see 8 and 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old children get on the mic and they speak intelligently, don't they, VJ?
That's right.
They have the spoken word, and they sit up here and they just run this stuff off. You be sitting up here amazed at what this kid is saying. You know, so this is what we're saying as a mad dad. We're saying that parents, we've got to be responsible. I can't tell my – I was convicted by an 8-year-old boy in Hook's restaurant about smoking. The man asked me, he said, hey, do you smoke? And I said, well, I'm trying. He said, don't say you trying to do nothing. Just say you smoking. Stop lying. I said, wow. He told VJ, he said, you smoke? VJ said, no, I don't smoke. He said, I like you. He said, he pointed back at me. He said, I don't like you. You know, I walked out that restaurant that night convicted. And that very next day, I stopped smoking cigarettes. I haven't touched a cigarette yet. And that was 2 years ago. You know, so the power of children in our lives must be understood. Because if you say you love your son, if you love your daughter, then you've got to be man. You've got to be woman enough to lay up here and talk the realities of your survival to that child. And let that child understand what you're going through, how you feel when you get off work, when you done laid up here and working those two jobs, and you're trying to sleep in between, and you're trying to feed him and tweet his brothers and sisters. You got to explain and share these things with your child. And as a mad dad, I'm just feel so privileged that we have an opportunity to bring this information, because we have a support group tonight. It's Tuesday Night Support Group, and it's at 3023 4th Avenue South, that we share these things, that we can come down, we feed, we have a buffet-style dinner, we have our children in a daycare where they can go into another next room, and we can openly express the things we need to express in parenting our children, because that's our biggest challenge right now, is parenting our children.
We got a call, Mr. Bagger. Thank you very much. I appreciate what you're saying. We have a caller on 5270. And we tried this caller earlier. We're going to see now if we can get this caller on the line. Caller, you're listening to Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio nationwide, all over the country. How you doing? Caller, you on there? Caller? Hello? You're on Blog Talk Radio. Your number is 5270. Okay. You're on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to keep moving. Gil, I just want to say something about, you know, what we're doing, and what's so important about what we're doing here is that, you know, I think it's important to tell people that we don't do this for financial reasons. Clearly, this is not why me and Gil do this and a lot of the Mad Dads in the Moms Division. We do this because we know that there's a shortage of men that really are honest, and women that are really sincerely honest about how they live their lives and what they do. You know, just because you're in a church don't make you a Christian. And just because you stand in a garage don't make you a car. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So we have to know that there's some things that our children and even our elders are looking for this real. Real men. Real women that sacrifice. Sacrifice some of the selfish things that they want, such as drugs and sex and narcotics and, you know, violence and all this other stuff for what's right. And we've decided we want to live a life that's right. We want to live a life that has some meaning. And so how do we save our community? There's a few ways. One, we have to start believing in each other. We have to start trusting and loving in each other. Without unity, we're not going to make it, Gil. If we don't,
right.
we don't unify, if we don't come together, we're simply just not going to make it. You know, now you can't unify. You can't get on the mic and say one thing and then do something else behind the closed door, though.
That's right.
Whatever you say out in public is what you have to mean behind the closed doors.
Amen.
And what we mean behind closed doors and out in public is we're willing to work with anybody that wants to work with us, that is genuine and sincere. Unity is what it's going to take. Yeah?
Amen. And just to compound on what Mr. V.J. Smith was talking about is that, man, we're willing to work with anybody. You know, a lot of people want you to be a supersonic human being, like you're going to just step in the telephone booth like Underdog, and then all of a sudden you're going to lay up here and just become a different person. You know what I'm saying? No. You know, we're talking about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And the extraordinary thing is when you can lay up here and look at a child and tell that child, hey, man, I love you unconditionally. That means I love you regardless of the stupidity that you have in your head right now, because I know that stupidity is immaturity, you know? So we have to learn how to lay up here and not only just tell our children that we love them, but we have to exhibit that in the things that we do, the things, our behaviorism, our mannerism, you know? They got to see us openly greeting each other. They got to see us openly encouraging each other. They got to see us participating often to our community, participating often to their lives, going to their PTA meetings. Man, one of the saddest things that I've experienced as a mad dad is when we go to North High School, or when we go to Emily Gray Charter School, or when we go to Lucy Langley and stuff, and they have Teacher and Parents Day, and there don't no parents show up. That's a horrible thing to see, man, to see those little faces and stuff looking for their mother and their father to walk through that door, and it don't come.
Well, we got some calls. We're going to try again. We're going to go back to 5270. Thanks for calling. How you doing, 5270? You're live on Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads. How you doing? 5270. We keep giving you a shot, and you never talk.
I think you just got a faulty phone, man.
Yeah, that's something. We keep giving you a shot, and you
I
don't
talk.
I think
you got something you want to say, man, but that phone just won't let you to say it.
We're going
to
let
put the powers of Jesus on that phone.
We got another caller here, 5643. How you doing?
Hello. How are you today?
Hey.
Good.
Yeah, I'm a regular caller, and I'm not going to give my name today. Because of what I'm going to say. You know, I've tried being nice to my kids. I have too. They're both raised in the same household. One is, they're like night and day. I have the one that's, he don't get into no trouble, no problems. But I have a daughter. Problems. These are kids raised in the same household. I don't understand it. My mother said, you know, take things, don't beat them, take things, punish them. Take this from him. Take that from her. It works with my son. Doesn't work with my daughter. Gotten three calls from the school this morning. So when I get home tonight, I'm going to raise her like I've been raised. I'm not going to spare the rod. When I get home today, I'm going to get her. That's the only time that she realizes that I'm serious, that she has to get an education, that she has to do the right thing, that when she walks off, I don't want to hear any smart remarks. I found out that the reason that these kids do things is because they can get away with them. The first time you let them get away with something, especially when they're in their preteens and this after they hit teens, the first time they get away with something, if you don't stop them then, you're going to have that problem. I didn't stop her. I just chastised her. Don't talk to me that way. Now, if I would have did to her what my mama did to me, it's the first time I got smart, which I didn't even think about, but I looked like it. I wanted to do it one time. And she gave me a look that stopped me in my shoes. I'm going to get her when I get home. She don't even know it, but I'm going to get her.
Well, see, that's what mother's supposed to do. We want to thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. We got a few seconds left. I want to just say that Blog Talk Radio is brought to you by the Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads, and we're right in Minneapolis, south side of Minneapolis, and also we have a coupon. coupon, just a coupon for change to change your life. And all you have to do is to make a difference and be here Tuesday at 5 o'clock at 3023 4th Avenue. This is the place to be for change in your life. Thank you. And Gil Baggett and myself, we love you. And there's nothing you can do about it, right, Gil?
That's right. There's nothing you can do about it.
Killian. Okay, he's coming out now.
Are we going on another segment?
It looks like we're going on to another segment. So, yeah, that's what it looks like. So keep going, Gil. Let's keep talking.
Hey, you know, a lot of people, we ride the bus. And ask people, say, hey, man, well, how would you like to be a mentor? And they'll live in there, tell us, they say, hey, man, you know, right now I'm going through a certain changes in my life right now, man. You know what I'm saying? Things ain't right with me, man. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, man. You know, I'm trying to get my life back together and stuff. You know, and I'll stop them and I'll tell them, I say, you know something? There's a kid over here, man, saying that really would love to hear what you're going through. I say, because we got to put some humanity else in this situation. We've got to understand, man, there's nothing different that you're going through that I'm having gone through. It's different trials and tribulations. Yeah, I understand that. You know what I'm saying? We all got different fingerprints. We all got different DNA and all that other kind of crazy stuff like this. But it's a commonality into this humanity that we share together. You know, it's a responsibility, man, saying that we have to lay up here and maintain the integrity line. You know what I'm saying? Look, like, you know, there's strong men in your life that you have looked up to, a Boy Scout leader, a school teacher, a coach, someone who made such an impact on your life, man, that you say, well, hey, man, if I ever get a chance to give back, that's what I want to give back. I want a legacy that left behind me to say, well, hey, man, you know, Gil was an all right guy, man. Gil laid up here. He didn't do nothing else. He told me the truth. You know what I'm saying? Gil didn't hide his feeling. When he was hurt, he was hurt, and he let me witness his pain. He let me see the things that he went through in order to let up here and rectify those changes. I'm not telling you that any mad dad is perfect. I'm not telling you that any mad dad is without flaw or without blemishes and stuff like that. No, man, you know what I'm saying? We all fall short in the coming of God, man. I understand that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that, man, that we pick up our cross every day. And for those who don't understand what that means, that I pick my inconsistencies, man. I pick my weaknesses and my faults, man. You see, I pick them stuff up every day, and every day I try to work on them. Every day I try to bring a smile to somebody. Every day I want to lay up here and see how I can lay up here and help you to help yourself. You know, that's the only way we're going to be able to rectify, get that dope out of our community, get these guns out of our community. You know what I'm saying? Change the mind of our babies, man. We got kids that's laying up here 3, 4, 5 years old, they're uncontrollable. That's crazy for a child to have that type of rage inside of them. I'm saying that today we have to understand this is a battle that we cannot lose. We cannot lose this battle, because if we lose this battle here, our babies are going to lose their battles with their babies.
That's absolutely right. And I believe if we don't really stop brothers going with the press, going to prison, man. Stop getting high, running to the liquor store every day. Stop disregarding education and thinking that education is not important. Stop, man, planting your seeds in all these women, and you cannot deposit love into those babies. Stop that. You have to stop. See, there's some things you have to stop doing before you can really start having success in your life and having success for your family. We have a problem with stopping. We have a problem with it. It ain't nothing for us to get somebody pregnant and walk off and leave her. That's a big issue. We've got to do something to change that. We got to change it now, man. We've got to really change it now. And, you know, some of our elders, man, allow us to do stuff that we shouldn't do. Elders aren't as tough as they used to be.
That's right.
Some of our elders are softened up. They got tired and worn out because they just tired, man. And they got so many grandbabies to handle by themselves, they just give up. So we have to stop that cycle and begin a new cycle. Remember, you can always call us, Mad Dads at 612-822-0802, and make sure you go to our website, www.MinneapolisMadDads.org. Check us out and make a contribution. You know, give your part. Make a difference in the work that we do. We need your support. We can't do this thing all alone, man. There's no way we can do it. But I also want to say, we're going to be in the schools working with you. We'll be at Emily Gray, and one of the things that I think the blessings that Gil has learned from working with middle school kids is that we can have an impact on them. Right, Gil?
That's right. We can have a, man, we have a fantastic impact on those kids, man. You know, it's a beautiful thing to watch the development of a child. Sometime, man, when, you know, when you get to talking to them kids, when you first talk to them, you know, they got that big old security network around them. They got that big old wall around them. You know what I'm saying? They don't want you to come in and stuff and saying it was your inconsistent butt. You know what I'm saying? They don't want you to come in saying one thing and all of a sudden it becomes another thing. You know what I'm saying? They don't want you to come into their lives and all of a sudden you ain't there when they need you. You know, we got to be consistent in our children's lives. We have to lay up here and be the message that we bring. You know, and one of the things that I really thank the Lord for allowing me to do in my life, and that is being an impact role model to so many different kids in these schools. You know, and you know, you can hate on anything that we do. You can say, you can hate on me as an individual. You can hate on anything you want to do. You know, but see, what's separating us from you is that we're out here doing it. We're doing the work. We're putting the work in. We get up every day with expectations that we're going to lay up here and enrich and empower somebody else's life. You know, I'll get up every day with expectations and stuff and saying that something I've said that sprouted a seed of excitement off into a kid, and he tells me, say, hey, Gil, this is what I've accomplished. You know, that's the ground, that's the crowning on my head, man, you know. That I can see that out of all the devastating things that I've done in my community, you know, because you know, I used to be unconscious, man. I used to lay up here and just think that it was just about me. It didn't matter what I thought about anybody else, what I said about anybody, how I hurt anybody else, how I stuck and stole from anybody else. It was just me. You know, see, but then through experience, you know, I come to realize and stuff that, hey, man, ain't no man an island amongst to himself. He's not. You know, it takes a team, man, and it takes a whole community to raise a child, you know, because that child today are so receptive, man. They understand, they're like big old sponges. What you do, they're going to emulate, regardless of how. You know, just like these pulling their pants down and stuff like that there and hanging their pants down on their knees and stuff like that. That comes from sight seen. They seen it somewhere, and they start emulating. Then they start putting a concept into having their pants pulled down like this. Yeah. So
and then somebody made money, and it wasn't nobody black that made money on those pants.
That's right.
How many people you know black that sell pants? How many people you know black that sell belts? I mean, they did. They invented the belt. We probably invented the belt.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But are we making money? I don't even know a place where I can go where the pants I buy are made by African Americans. It's you know, there's a lot of products that we can buy, but do we even research it? Do we even ask who are black manufacturers and suppliers in our community? How can we support them?
We say Puff Daddy.
Yeah, how can we buy from them? What can we do?
John.
To make a difference. What is it that we can do? There's a lot that we can do, but our sister, we're so busy hating on each other that we don't take time out to love on each other. And so that's what Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio is about. It's about loving on each other, loving on our community. And we're stressing today, how do we save our community? We save it by you doing something different than what you've been doing, especially if it's been negative. But also I want to say something, too. And I want to leave the last few minutes of this show about the great and wonderful and excellent and marvelous and loving children and parents that we have in our community.
That's right.
We talk so much about the gang bangers and how much they shooting everybody up and all that. I'm starting to give some more of my time to some of those kids, man, that just want to go to college. They don't want to get shot at. They want to make it. I'm starting to give my time to some of those folks. That's what I'm starting to do, because I feel like we don't do that enough. We talk about the negative. We talk about the gang members. We talk about the drug dealers. We talk about the prostitutes. But, baby, let me tell you about some of these kids in middle school that are doing great. Let me tell you about some of these high school kids that, against all odds, are still making it to college. We've got some great, fantastic kids and parents in our community. I want to salute that.
Amen. That's right, man. We go to so many places, man. The first thing we got to hear about is about black youth done did this. The Crips done this. The Bloods done this. The Disciples done the Vice Lords. All that crazy stuff done that. You know, we look at them. What about all these good things, man? What about all these parents that are football coaches and stuff that's in the parks with the kids every day doing the drills and doing the practice sessions and making that effort move to come home from work to go pick their kids up, to bring them to the park, to teach them some unification and stuff, saying organized sports. What about those heroes that's in our community and stuff? How can we uphold those? You know what I'm saying? The reason you can't, because people love mayhem and confusion. People love the bad guy. We got to put the bad guy out of our community. We got to start upholding the good guy and letting them say, well, hey, against all odds, he's prevailed. Like Tupac said in one, he said a rose growing out of the concrete. You know, we looking for that one, the one that's going to push through all that adversity, push through all that hatred, push through all that pain and confusion and turmoil that's in his midst to lay up there and reign above all of it and stand up and say, listen, man, this is where I come from. You know, this is my community. You know, that it is possible that you can lay up here and become anything that you want to successfully be, regardless of your adversities.
You sure can. There's some golden people out there and folks out there that I think that are strictly dynamic in the things that they do and the people they serve in our community. I've really been trying my best to look at this community in a way that I can contribute. I don't know exactly what day I'll die. I don't know that. A lot of people don't know that. Some people decide what day they're going to die and take themselves, but I don't know what day I'm going to die. But I do know that when I do go, I will have gave my best and done my best, and that my legacy will follow me, and that I was a man of integrity, and people believed in me and trusted me. And I will know that I did not cross you out, that I did not talk about you behind your back. I just kind of handled my business and made sure that this vision kept going. That I believed in this mission, and I had people involved with us that believed in the mission. Even though the mission gets tough sometimes, it gets trying, it gets hard, and it gets complicated, but we still stay focused. I also believe that we have to start fighting a little harder. We're not in those rooms fighting. We always wait till the bulldozer comes, but why don't we wait and meet with the construction workers before they even bring the bulldozer? Why don't we meet with the school superintendents before they start changing and closing schools? Why don't we meet with the police department and ask them what is their plan for the young gang members and how can we be a part of it? Why don't we meet with the state legislators and the governors and those folks and tell them what we plan to do? You know why we don't? Because we're not educating ourselves, and I'm asking you, take a step out and do that. A young man just called me. He's running for state legislator. He's running for Senate, Mr. Jeff Hayden. And I hope he wins, you know, but we believe that he's got what it takes. And so I'm just saying, Jeff, man, we love you, man. And we love anybody that's out there trying to make a difference in our community. Mr. Bay.
That's right. You know, I mean, like, I know y'all be thinking, man, that it's going to take some type of supernatural human effort, but it's not. All it's going to take is your willingness to do your part, you know. Don't mind the man next door. Do your part, you know. Uplift yours. That's what we got to do. Come out and support those who think in the same way that you think, you know. Become a part of something that's progressive, something that you can lay up here and sell your child in so your child can buy off into that same vision that you have. Because you have to you got to envision for your child where you want your child to be. The Bible says, teach your child, and so then that child can lay up there and grow up in the way in which you want that child to go. So that when he falls back, when you ain't there no more, that when he falls back on that visionary picture that you had implanted in him, you know, and he'll strive for it. He might stumble, but he'll pick himself up. Because, see, he believes in that vision that you instilled inside of him, you know. So as a mad dad and as a member of the community, you know, who enjoys his community. VJ asked me all the time, you know what I'm saying? He said, wait, you left Chicago and you came up to Minnesota. You know, why did you come up here? Because, you know, he said, I've always don't embrace the athletics teams. I just don't like them. You know what I'm saying? They're bad. But besides that, I love the whole atmosphere of Minnesota. You know,